verse 1 through 6. That's Numbers chapter 11. Fourth book in the Old Testament. Verse 1 through 6. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name, the place, Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remembered the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. You may be seated. I truly hope what Father has given to me this day will minister unto you, that you may see exactly what's going on. And again, before we even start, I just want to say I got a call from Pastor Baker this morning, and his brother died. So we truly want to hold the family up in prayer. And Minister DJ called and said they wouldn't be here because the family's not feeling well as well. But those that are here, I hope that Father does have something to say to you that you may receive and understand. What we want to talk about this morning is mixed multitude. Mixed multitude. And what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to ask my two grandsons to come up, and I want them to just walk around with something that you may look at it. Adeline, will you come up as well? And I just want y'all to walk around and show everybody what you have. Let them see it. Just walk around. Let them see. Now, I think you can agree that everything in these items can be easily identified. One is cashews. One is chocolate-covered almonds. And one of them are Cheetos. Each of these items provide their own taste. They don't taste the same. Just like each and every one of us is different. And we have a different taste. As long as these items are separate, they are easily identified. No question. And I believe if offered one of these items, you wouldn't mind eating it. Amen? I mean, a Cheeto tastes like a Cheeto. Taste and see. Now, here's the question that I have. Who would eat from this bag? The question would be, what is it? Everything in here is mixed. You still got Cheetos and still got cashews and chocolate covered almonds, but it's mixed with some other things. Potato chips, Doritos, popcorn, regular chips, and something white. Something white. You may ask the question, what is it? Could it be powdered sugar? Could it be flour? Maybe just anything white. Now, y'all know it ain't cocaine. So don't nobody be hollering that out and calling the police. I don't need nobody at my house. But the thing is, because you see all this in here, it all of a sudden becomes undesirable. And if I ask you to eat something in here, you'd be saying, uh-uh. The chocolate-covered almonds that got covered with something white. The Cheetos is not really Cheetos anymore. I just wouldn't do it. But here I want you to see again. I put this one and this one in here. And even though these three edibles are in a bag with what you call unedible, they are protected. They are sealed. And all of the stuff inside cannot stop them or contaminate them. So if I was to ask you to eat one of them, what would you say? Well, here's the thing. The Cheeto still tastes like a Cheeto. Because it's protected from everything inside. Saints, what I want you to understand from this is you are still protected. Even though things come from the outside to the inside, you are sealed. So don't let anything contaminate what God has placed in you. This is what can happen and is happening in the church. Undesirable, self-righteous, religious people who have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They establish and attach themselves in the church with believers. But what we need to remember and do, regardless of who comes in from the outside, regardless of who is mixed with what doctrine, whoever tries to bring in what they have gotten themselves, we must stay sealed by the blood and the word of God. As we stand fast in the gospel, as we preach and teach, if the mix stay, they will become unmixed. Did y'all hear me? The undesirable will become desirable when it's done. Now, here are some things that can happen when you allow other things to come into the church. Look at Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to start at verse 24. First, I want you to know this. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and pleasures of this life will choke the word and you will become unfruitful. If you have the word embedded in you and working in you, if you are not careful, if you mix yourself with the things that exist in this world, it will choke the life that is in you and you will become unfruitful. Well, Pastor, help me understand that. You got patience? You know, that's a fruit. You hang around the world and you'll become impatient. Love is a fruit. You hang around in the world long enough, you will find your love will dilute. And you begin to have feelings that you ain't got no business having. And all the things that you've worked on all your life in Christ, and you find yourself a little stronger than what you were yesterday. If you start hanging out in the world, if you start mixing yourself, you will find that those very things will weaken. So in verse 24, it says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Would you agree, good seeds are here and the word is being sown? Can I get a witness on that? But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. If a pastor gets lazy or is not watchful, the wicked can come and mix in the church unaware. Pastors and leaders must stay alert and watchful. They are watching for your soul. They must be aware of who enters and with what. Many folks or some folks come in with other doctrines trying to throw their doctrine in on you. But a pastor must be aware and must know and deal with things accordingly. Verse 26 says, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Wheat and tare, when they are growing, look the same. Believers and the self-righteous or the religious look the same. It is only by the fruit that you shall know the tree. We must stay alert and keep ourselves sealed in the bag of righteousness. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Some tares or troubles are very obvious. Some people that are in or come in the church, is very obvious what their objective is. Very obvious what they plan to do. And according to the scriptures, we have our direction of what we need to do with them. And it does not say put them out. If we do the wrong thing, we may offend the wheat. Did you know that sometimes wheat is related to the tare? or we that are close friends to the tear. And if you are not careful, if you not do what you are supposed to do, if you pull that tear out, you may pull wheat with it. If we are not rooted and grounded in the word, we can already be or become offended. But verse 29 says, but he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Jesus said, now, let alone. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. You see, it is our responsibility not to be so quick and pull something up. It's not our job. It's our job to make sure that we are sealed, that regardless of what a tear does, that we are a wheat that cannot be pulled up. That's what's important. That's why the pastors have to look out among and make sure the right word is being preached. And make sure that the children of God are sealed from those very things. I have found in my time as pastor here, there are those that have come and those that have gone. If you continue to preach the word, those that are his, they will continue in his word. And those that are not will leave. Look at 2 Corinthians 2:15 and 16, because this is what it says. For we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. First thing to remember, we are unto God a sweet savior of Christ. That's what we are unto God. Regardless of what somebody else thinks, regardless of what somebody else says, you are a savior unto God. A sweet savior of Christ. 16 says, to the one we are the savior of death, unto death. And to the other, the savior of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Look at it this way, if I may put it in a natural term. The bee, I'm talking about a bumblebee, the bee brings honey to its owner, but it stings others. So the word is honey to us, but it stings the world because they cannot receive it. It is sweet to us. It is good to us, but they don't want to have nothing to do with it. Now, let's look at a different way of a mix of God's people. Israel and Egypt were a mixed people when delivered from Egypt. As long as they were where they were one of their own. But when they left Egypt, they became mixed, and we're going to see that. In Exodus, Israel believed and they served God. They were in their camp and Egypt was in theirs. When Israel was in their camp and God directed them to do something, there was no questions asked. They did it. They cried for 400 years asking for deliverance. Today we are asking God to deliver us from something. Free us from this. And when he does, we say, why? Why did it happen this way? Why? Let's look at it. Let's take a journey, if you will, with Israel. Exodus chapter 2, we'll start. Verse 24 and 25. We just talking about God's people. And I believe that all of us will be able to identify from pastor on down. Exodus 2 and 24,
It said, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Just as he kept this promise with Abraham, he will keep his promise with Jesus concerning us. Did y'all know that? Verse 25 says, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. God is not a respecter of person to where he will respect them and will not respect you. If he heard their cry, he hears our cry. Did y'all hear me today? But it took Moses 80 years before God could use Moses. He was 80 years old before he could be used. Exodus 7:7 says, and Moses was 80 years old. That's 80. And Aaron 83 years old. I didn't know Aaron was his older brother. I thought he was his younger brother. It says, when they spake unto Pharaoh. If you read the account, you will find that God had more problems with Moses than he did with Israel obeying in the camp. When God was talking to Moses, Moses said things like this. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? When they asked, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? God said, I am that I am. That's all you got to say. Look at how God proves to Moses who he is in Exodus 4:1-4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Sound familiar? And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. And it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Huh? Let me go ahead. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, meaning it was not steel. He caught it and it became a rod in his hand. Saints, let me illustrate. Say this rod. And the Lord says, Tony, what you got? A rod, a bat. Throw it down. Now, how many of y'all know if that bat turned to a snake, I'm going to flee too. And it ain't going to be just a few steps away. Lord, bring your gun, something. And get rid of this snake. Yeah, we all going to flip. Y'all going to clear the church. And then you going to tell me to pick it up by its tail? See, I got folks in here right now just shaking and not knowing what they want to do. Wonder whether that bat going to turn to a snake or something. Believe me, if it does, I'll be the first one out. And my excuse, look, Lord, it's hard for me to bend down and you want me to pick this bat up. You got to help me out here. Amen. But that's just how we are. Moses was complaining because he didn't want to do what God had told him to do. And here, Moses still had excuses. Even after this, Moses said to God, I am not eloquent. No, okay, now for me, eloquent is a big word by itself. I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. God took his excuses away by saying, your brother Aaron will speak for you. You have no excuse for not doing what God is asking or telling you to do. God was not only proving to Moses who he is, because he didn't even stop at that. He said, look, Moses, take your hand and put it in your bosom. Moses did so, and he pulled it out. It was leprosy. It was white. You know, this ain't the way it's supposed to be. Put your hand back in. He put it back in. He pulled it out. It was normal. All of the excuses that Moses could come up with, God had an answer for it. But again, God was not only proving to Moses who he is, God also was showing Pharaoh, Egypt, and Israel who he is. Through all the plagues, they began to see who God was. When the water became blood, Egypt could not drink the water. Frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. But the people of Israel were not harmed. Egypt had flies. Their cattle died. But Israel lost not a one. Egypt got fire and hail. Israel did not. Egypt was bombarded with locusts. Darkness came over the land of Egypt. Even darkness which could be felt. But Israel had light. Now, did you know in light you can see what darkness is? But in darkness that is felt, you cannot see light. When you're in the thickness of darkness, you cannot see in front of your hand, regardless of where the light is. You can't see it because the darkness covers it. But while you're in the light, you can see the darkness. Do you see what I'm saying to you today? While you're in the light, while you're allowing your light to shine, you can see the darkness that's placed before you. But if you're in darkness, you can't see where you're going. You can't see that you are totally in unrighteousness because you're not sealed in the bag. Turn with me to Exodus 11. Told you I'm going to take you on a journey. Let your fingers do the walking through the gospel pages. Exodus 11:4. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, talking to Israel, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even to the firstborn of the mid servants that is behind the meal, and all the firstborn of beast. God is not making Israel aware. God is now making Israel aware of what he's going to do. Just like he is telling us today, if we would listen. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But again, any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between Egypt and Israel. We need to know just how there's a difference between Egypt and Israel. We need to know how there's a difference between us and the unbeliever. I mean, to the point where God is saying, a dog's tongue ain't going to move. In other words, y'all going to shut it up. Be quiet and say nothing. How many of y'all, sometimes we just need to be still? We still have not yet learned God has put a difference between us and the world. We are in this world, but not of the world. Look at Exodus 12. Three, Exodus 12, verse 3. God is now giving specifics to Israel. In the instructions, Israel did not question God. Everyone in the camp was of the same mind. They were not mixed with any other. It was just Israel. Verse 3 says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." Sharing. It's called sharing. Not being selfish, sharing. Nobody didn't say, "God, why do I have to share? Why do I have to do this?" It was instructed, this is what you do. After all the things that Israel had seen, I mean, they were also seeing the flies and the locusts and things dying, but they were not harmed by it. It means something. Do you see all the things that are happening today, all the things that are going on, and it's not affecting you? In you, in him, you still live and move and have your being. You're protected. There's a seal. Oh, things ain't going the way you want them to sometimes, but you still protected. Nobody here has lost the meal. Some of us had too many meals. God said in verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish." Not just any old kind of thrown together, something that you done grew. "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening." In other words, this didn't just come overnight. There's a preparation. How many understand that in your life in Christ, there is a preparation? There's things that you have to do. There's things that you have to sacrifice. There's things that you have to stay away from, because you are being prepared for the Lord. 7 says, "And they shall take of the blood that and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat." This blood that is being put on the two sides of the door posts is a type and shadow of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. "And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it." The communion we take comes from the communion they shared back then. Do you understand? Do you see what's going on? What we do today is not just something dropped out of the sky, but it was a type and shadow from what was done from the past. It says, "Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire." If you don't eat it, burn it. Nothing left. There's a reason for it. "And thus shall ye eat it, and with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." See, what's going to happen is after you eat, you got to be ready, because it's time to go. Because what I do quickly. They didn't say, "Well, why I got to eat with my shoes on and everything ready and running on out. Why? How come I can't eat?" You know how we like it. We like to eat and lay back and take it easy. We want a nap.
Now, ain't going to be no time for no nap. You eat, got the energy. It's time to go.
Verse 12 says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Put that blood on the doorpost. Because the death angel that slip on by, when he see it, he know, I can't touch that house. How many of you know you were sealed with the blood of Jesus? Oh, bless him today. The blood of Jesus is our token. God sees the blood and knows we are of one of his. Because the blood, the plague of sin, has passed. Look at 14. "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. For us, the first day of the week, or every time we take communion, we do this in remembrance of what Christ did for us on Calvary." You don't have to just take communion of the first Sunday. You can take it the second Sunday. You can take it on Thursday. You can take it Monday evening. But as often as you do it in remembrance of what he's done for you. When God executed this judgment on Pharaoh in Egypt, every firstborn, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle died. When all was said and done, Pharaoh released the children of Israel. Immediately. That's why you got to be ready. I told you to have it. Have your shoes on. It's time to go. Just like the 10 virgins. Make sure you got some oil. Don't be foolish. I don't know about y'all. The Lord is good. Oh, blessing. When all was said and done, Pharaoh released the children of Israel. But drop down to verse 36 and see what happened. Listen closely to this, saints. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of Egypt, of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians gave them what was needed. Here, you want this? Here, you need this? How many know when you find favor in the Lord, just out of nowhere, he began to give you things that you didn't know could be given? "And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot. There were men besides children." Now look at what it says in verse 38. "And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle." Meaning, many of those from Egypt left Pharaoh and went with Israel. Many of them of Egypt saw, understood, and took heed what God did unto the firstborn, and said, "I believe God more than I believe Pharaoh." Many Egyptians believed because of what they experienced, and by this Egypt and Israel became a mixed multitude. How many understand that even though you are in the body of Christ, there may be some that come in that don't know Christ, which makes you a mixed
multitude until they receive Christ.
And that's why we got to make sure that we are sealed in the bag. Now go back to Numbers 11, 4, and 6 so we understand just what was happening as a mixed multitude. And the mixed multitude in verse 4 that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat?
Do you know that when there are those in the body of Christ that are not saved, that are religious or self-righteous, that they have that mentality of saying and doing things that doesn't have nothing to do with the doctrine of Christ? And they go back and they begin to do the things that they did in the world or that they never let go of in the world. And when they do those things and they are around you, if you are not sealed in your bag, you're going to do it too. Since he's here, I'm going to talk about my son for a minute. He had a cousin. And he close to his cousin. They was like that. You think they were brothers. Couldn't pull them apart. They did all kinds of things together. And we decided to go to Kings Island. And his cousin had on his swimming trunks and my son had on his swimming trunks. And his cousin ran to the swimming pool and leaped into the water. And right behind him was my son running and leaping right behind him. But there was a big difference. His cousin knew how to swim. Tony did not. To this day, it had to have been God. Because as quickly as he went in, his body turned around and he came out. If you are not careful, if you run with the mix, you will get what the mix got. And in certain situations, the mix will carry on and nothing happen. But you suffer the consequences because you didn't know. Don't run with those that are not in Christ.
Verse 5 says, when we remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dry away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes.
Don't get tired of what God's feeding you. Did y'all hear me? Even if you're reading the same scripture again and again and again. Because every time you read it, if you read it spiritually, mindfully, openly, you will find and get something different out of it every time.
God knows how to talk. He ain't slow to speak. He don't have no slow tongue. He's very eloquent. But yet understanding. Just like Israel fell into the Egyptian syndrome, if we are not careful, we can fall into a mixed syndrome with the world. The world has their own way of serving God. And we have our way of serving him in spirit and in truth. Now let's look at what they did on the day of Pentecost. I found this interesting. Back then, they were together in one place. Go to Acts chapter 2. When we talk about being together in one place, it is usually for a picnic, a wedding, or a funeral. When we do, we have a hard time getting on one accord in those places. But Acts chapter 2,
verse 1.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Every nation was in one place with the same thing in mind. The very thing handed down from generation to generation, from nation to nation. They were all coming together for the Passover. By being on one accord in one place, today we get together in one place. When we pray, is everyone praying or talking while someone prays? When we sing, is everyone singing or greeting someone entering? When we worship, are we worshiping or complaining and gossiping? When God is speaking to us in prophecy, are we listening or texting someone and asking them, what you doing? God wants us to listen as much as we want him to listen to us. Just like everything you saw in the bag was sealed from other things, we need to be sealed from the mixed things of the world. Let's look closer at a few things in Romans. And we'll close in this. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. This is what Paul said. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or pearl, or sword. This is what you see going on right now in the world. And slowly it is being brought into the church. Tribulation is great affliction. Tribulation is an experience that tests your endurance, your patience, and your faith. The stress is to cause anxiety or suffering. Anxiety or suffering. Getting it from the world is what the world has done that has come into the church. It is pain or suffering of the mind or the body. Note, these things cannot touch your soul. Persecution, to be harassed by others, especially because of race, religion, or beliefs. Many of these things exist in the church because of the mixed beliefs and religions that have come into the church from outside. Famine. People are being separated because of famine. This is not necessarily a famine of food, but a famine of the word. Amos tells us that, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Nakedness is to have no covering. Today, this covering could be exposed to the world without protection. They are naked and not knowing any truth. And when they come into the church and expose themselves, we are not covered. We will cry out in the same manner as they do. Just like Israel cried along with Israel, with Egypt. Pearl is danger of something that involves risk. We are in a dangerous time. Between wars, pandemics, hatred, and shortages, we cannot panic or allow things to separate us from Christ. A sword is a weapon. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, whether physical or spiritual. Don't let the threat of your life separate you from Christ. There are many things trying to mix themselves in the church, whether it is by people or other means. Don't allow anything separate you from the love of Christ. Remember, Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My time is up, and I thank you for yours.